This is the EWN Radio Network.
This is Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
Hello there and welcome to Close Up. Yes, this is Phyllis Smith and I'm so happy that you're joining us today. So, as a business owner, wouldn't it be nice to earn revenue in your sleep? I mean, who wouldn't want that, right? After all, you work hard enough on your building your business. Who wouldn't want a continuous revenue stream to give your business a boost? Well, it's about corporate sponsorships, my friends, and the queen of it all is my guest today, Linda Hollander. She's the founder and CEO of Sponsor Concierge. She's the author of Corporate Sponsorships in 3 Easy Steps. She's featured by Inc. and Entrepreneur magazines as the leading expert on corporate sponsorships. And let's just, she knows her stuff, folks. Her clients and sponsors include Microsoft, FedEx, Citibank, Mattel, the list goes on. So, Linda Hollander, thank you so much for joining us today.
Great to be here, Phyllis.
So before we dive into the criteria for securing corporate sponsorships, you say in your you say that you survived the poverty trap and abusive relationships. So what is that all about, and how did it lead you to become one of the premier experts on corporate sponsorships?
I would love to tell you about that, because I'm going to take you back to before I started my business. And, you know, at eWomen Network and eWomen Radio, of course, we support women being empowered and men being empowered as far as learning entrepreneurships. But before I learned how to start and succeed in a business, I was in the poverty trap. I was living in a little rent-controlled apartment. I had a cat, and I had to hide the cat because the landlord didn't like cats. I had a clunker car, and I was praying that that clunker car would not break down, because I never even would have the funds to fix that car. And, you know, I was actually afraid to go to my mailbox in the morning because there were bills there that I could never, ever afford to pay. But I was working at the time. I was working in a dead-end job, you know, with people I didn't like. And unfortunately, I was in that job. I just wasn't making enough money. So I borrowed on credit cards, and that's why there were all those bills there, and I couldn't even see the light at the end of the tunnel. And as far as the abusive relationships, at that time, I was in an abusive relationship with a man, and that relationship lasted 4.5 years, believe it or not. And what led me down that path was that I really didn't have any self-confidence. I figured, hey, this is what I deserve. But, you know, fortunately, one day I had an epiphany, and I said, I'm not going to live as a victim anymore. I want my life to make a difference. And that's when I decided this is my time to strike out on my own, start my business. I called my best friend, Cheryl, and we started a business together. And, you know, knowing absolutely nothing, grew that business to a multi-million dollar business. I was able to move out of the rent-controlled apartment, buy my first home as a single woman, travel the world. But what I enjoyed the most was really consulting with other women business owners, because they would ask me, they would say, Linda, how do I do sales and how do I do marketing? So I wanted to do a women's small business expo, and I knew that I needed funding for the women's small business expo, because by that time I was not in the bag business anymore. I was just kind of working from my kitchen table and once again sharing it with the cat. So I figured out how to get corporate sponsors, and for my very first event I got Walmart, IBM, and Bank of America, and everybody came to my events, and they loved it, and I was able to do the Women's Small Business Expo for 10 years, all financed by sponsors, never lost any money, in fact, made a pretty significant amount of money. But people not only wanted to know the entrepreneurship secrets, but they wanted to know, hey, how are you getting these sponsors? You know, how can I do it if I'm just starting out? How can I do it if I'm a small business? How can I do it if I have no experience? Because I had no experience at the time. I had no following. You know, and I was able to land some pretty good sponsors, and you read the list of some of the other sponsors. So that's what I do full-time now, is I help people get corporate sponsors and really tap into the awesome power of funding from sponsors.
I want to go back just a little bit when you talked about you referred to you were the wealthy bag lady. So that was the business you went into with your friend?
That was the business I went into with my best friend, which is why I'm such a fan of eWomen Network, because if it was not for Girl Power and, you know, knowing a lot of amazing women, I would not even be talking with you today. So the business that Cheryl and I started, what's called, we made promotional bags for companies like Sears and Nissan and, you know, really, really great companies. And, you know, so one day somebody said to me, they said, you're not just a bag lady, you're like a wealthy bag lady, because we had, you know, created this whole business around making, you know, bags, you know. And it's not ladies' purses, it's the promotional bags that you see at trade shows, shopping malls, at events. Those are the ones that we did. So that was my business at the time, was the bag business, and that's how I got the brand name of Wealthy Bag Lady.
Okay, so you walk into Walmart. I mean, before you walk into Walmart, before you walk into IBM and Bank of America and secure them as sponsors, you got to pick up the phone and call somebody to do it. So this person who is in an abusive relationship, who had no confidence whatsoever, what was it? What did it take for you, the phone? Like, who do you talk to at this corporation like that?
Well, let's talk about the mindset issue, because yes, I was working, you know, out of my spare bedroom, didn't have an office, had never done an event in my life, you know, but I had this grand vision of the Women's Small Business Expo, and that I really was on a mission to help other women get empowered. And, you know, that's what really carried me through and getting through all those really scary situations, like calling Walmart and Bank of America and American Airlines and Microsoft, you know. Like, who the heck was I to call them? But I figured, you know what, my mission is so strong that I'm going to do whatever it takes me. So if you're just starting to get corporate sponsors, all the listeners out there, here's what I want you to do. I want you to make that wish list of the companies that you would like to have fund you. And don't worry if they sound big. Don't worry if they sound out of reach to you, because that's what happened with me and all my clients. Make that list. Now, after you make the list, you're going to talk to the marketing department. So just know that you're going to call and talk to the marketing department. If it is not the marketing department that could give you the sponsorship dollars, they will direct you to the right person. And you know what? That's how I got those first sponsors. I just called and asked for the marketing department, and, you know, that led me to getting the sponsorship deals.
And, you know, I always thought that to get a corporate sponsor, you need to be a big business. And obviously, that's not true at all.
Absolutely not. And that's why I'm one of the only people who helps people who are just getting started when they're a company of one, when they're like a little micro business, you know, because everybody's got to start somewhere. Susan G. Komen, everybody's, you know, all the companies are falling all over themselves to do Susan G. Komen, but they had to start somewhere. She started in a garage, you know, so, you know, you got to start somewhere, and don't let it deter you that you're not a big company, you know, because you can do this.
So I'm a Mr. or Mrs. Marketing Exec at IBM, and I get a call from Linda. What is it that is going to attract me to you? What is the is there an overall criteria that these execs, these marketing execs and corporations are looking for? Does it differ based on the corporation?
There's pretty standard criteria that they're looking for. So the definition of sponsorship is connecting a company to people who can buy things, and that's my definition. There's an industry definition that's really complicated, but I like to break things down and make them easy. So you're going to tell IBM how you're going to connect them to the people who could buy their stuff. So what I did was I called IBM and I said, hey, I've got this amazing demographic of women business owners. It is a $2.8 trillion market in America. Women in America have more spending power than five countries put together. Women, they make or they influence over 85% of the purchasing decisions. Women are starting businesses at twice the rate of men. So those things were very compelling to all of those sponsors that I've worked with. I mean, wouldn't you want, you know, somebody who makes or influences over 85% of the purchasing decisions? So it's all about the demographics, and I say that demographics are destiny, because you really want to research your audience and tell the sponsor those kinds of things about your audience, and then, of course, describe what you want to do and how you're going to connect them to that audience.
So so then basically the key word here is research. That you do need to know who it is before you call up. You need to know your audience, and you need to also approach the corporation that best suits that audience. Is that correct? I mean, you
absolutely
have to be picky about who you go after.
Yeah, and what if you're doing, here's who I work with. I work with book authors. I work with speakers. I work with people who do events. I work with nonprofit charities, and I work with businesses mostly. So if you're doing, let's just say, an event, look at other events that are going on that are similar to the event that you're doing or the event that you would like to do, and look at who's sponsoring them. If you're doing a book, look at, other authors that are sponsored, other speakers that are sponsored, other nonprofit charities, other businesses. And, approach those companies because they're more likely to sponsor you because you don't have to educate them about the value of your demographic because they're already in that particular space. So that's how to find some sponsors, is kind of just look around on the Internet and see what companies are sponsoring things. And when people say to me, well, Linda, isn't their budget drained? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. So, if they're sponsoring something similar to what you're doing, that's a really good prospect to sponsor you.
When I used to sell advertising for radio, one of the things they taught us is listen to the other radio stations, look at the billboards, read in the paper who is advertising. And those are the people you go after because obviously they believe in that. So, in your case, you're looking for, if they're sponsoring somebody else, then they obviously are in the market for that. It's just you want them to know that you've got their target audience, just like you know that they're your target audience. So, Linda, we're going to take a short break and go to commercial. And when we come back, we're going to talk about so once you secure a sponsor, how do you keep them? So stand by.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who have been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hi, I'm Janelle McCauley, the host of Eat Great, Live Well Radio, right here on the EWN Radio Network. Join me every Thursday to find out how you can take control of your health and your life. No complicated medical speak. Just straight talk about eating healthier without giving up the food you love. Each week, I'll bring you powerful and revealing interviews with doctors, health experts, and people just like you who have learned to create a healthy future for themselves and the ones they love. I look forward to serving you great content and healthy tips on Eat Great, Live Well Radio. And remember, if you can't listen to me live, you can always get the replay at ewnradionetwork.com. I invite you to join me each Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, here on the EWN Radio Network, and let's create your healthy future together.
You're listening to Close Up with Phyllis Smith.
And welcome back to Close Up. Today, we're looking deeply into corporate sponsorship. And, for those of you who are in business for yourself, this is something that can help support you, support your business, provided an additional revenue stream, and you can earn this money in your sleep. You work hard enough on your own business. And I'm speaking with Linda Hollander. She is the queen of corporate sponsorships. Her book is corporate. She's written a book, Corporate Sponsorships in 3 Easy Steps. You'll see her on lots of TV and radio. She is the go-to person by Inc. and Entrepreneur magazines, considered the leading expert on corporate sponsorships. So, Linda, thank you so much again for sharing your wisdom today. So you have a story about your first sponsor. Tell us about
that. Yeah, I would love to tell the story of my first sponsor. So basically, remember I said, think of companies that would like to have sponsor you. Make your sponsor wish list. So I'm in Los Angeles, California. So guess what? I was stuck in traffic, and I was like cursing this traffic jam. But I look up, and I see a billboard for Bank of America. And there's a woman in a commercial kitchen. So, it says Banking on America. And, they're trying to solicit the women's market. So I made a note of that. I came back to my little, home office, and I put Bank of America on the wish list. And you know what? I called them, and they said, sure, let's talk. And, they became my very first sponsor. It was a 5-figure sponsorship. I can't reveal how much it was because that's proprietary. But, thank God there was a desk between me and this guy, because my knees were knocking and I was so nervous. When he says, we'll be your sponsor, I had to shake his hand like I do this stuff every day, And then when I got in my car, I did the happy dance, in my car.
Right.
And all the way back home, I was waving to all the Bank of America branches because I said, oh, man, they really want to support women. And, that was just kind of the start of everything. And remember, I had no experience. I had no following. I think I had my brother-in-law and my parents on my email list. I would have put the cat if I could, but, I still got Bank of America as a sponsor, and that's what I want to share today is how you can get started and then really, turn around, and it's real game changer having sponsors. It was a total game changer for me and a lot of my clients.
So, I mentioned in a previous segment that I used to sell radio time advertising, and I hated it, but I did it, and then ended up saying, after a while of not getting rejected, because radio business is really hard, because there's a bazillion people out there, and they're all knocking their elbows in your face to get to the next person, and that's something that's, I think important to note, that there is a lot of competition out there. So what is like the secret? What is that magic thing that will help you stand out with a potential sponsor? Because there is so much competition out there.
There is a lot of competition. There is some risk because, you could lose time. You could lose money if you don't know what you're doing. So let's talk about the competition factor because, since I've been in it, for 15 years, I have seen it get a whole lot more competitive. So here's what we do in proposals that nobody else does. We do storytelling. You want them to see your humanity. You want to make an emotional connection. And that's what's really going to set you apart from your competition. And I know a lot of people out there are thinking, well, if I'm sending a proposal to a big company, I'm going to put facts and figures and impress them with my pretty bio and put all my accomplishments and awards and education. But really, you want to make yourself vulnerable. You want them to see your humanity. And that's how I've gotten a lot of sponsorships, how my clients have gotten a lot of sponsorships. I tell them about that story of the poverty trap and the abusive relationships. I put that in my proposal. We put cartoons in sponsor proposals. We put graphics and photos and make them like really, really friendly. And that's what, and sponsors, I got news. Sponsors are people. So they buy emotionally and then they justify it with logic. And you probably saw that in the radio business too.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do. It's very difficult in the radio business. And the competition is very steep. But this is another thing that I found so difficult, especially when I first started there. They basically sat down, gave me a phone book and said, start calling. They didn't throw me a bone and give me, somebody an advertiser that someone else already had, or maybe they left. I had to start from scratch. So when you're talking about you got your wish list, you call the marketing department, you're basically cold calling. So what is the first thing that comes out of your mouth when you are put to that right person? So they've got, 10 seconds to decide whether you're someone that they want to continue talking to. What do you say?
What you say is you make it all about them, and you make them the star, and you don't talk incessantly about what you do because they don't care. So I'm being really blunt here, but you want to say, hey, I'm calling because I want to help you with your marketing goals. I want to help promote your company, and I want to talk a little bit more about how we can do that together, how we can partner together, and I can help you educate people about your products and services. I want to help you increase your customer base. I want to help you grow your loyalty. I want to help drive traffic and drive sales to your company. When could we schedule another time to talk about that? So make it all about them. Don't even use the word sponsorship. Just kind of make it really about benefits for that company. And what I just said are pretty universal. Every company wants to increase their customer loyalty, grow the customer base, drive traffic, drive sales. So that's really how you're going to get your foot in the door. Most people call and they say, well, I want to tell you about what I do and how great I am. And, that's not really going to get you anywhere. It's got to be a benefit-rich presentation.
And that's just, to me, that's just sales in general, right?
Sales.
It's all about them. Would it also be beneficial before you call the client that you do, we talked about doing research, but also even diving into where they are, just out in the business world. Collect articles, maybe read some articles beforehand. What's the latest news? Is that going overboard, you think, or do you think that, am I overthinking it, in other words?
No, they love it when you do your homework. That's one of the things that I write about in my book. They love it when you do your homework. And you know what? Doing your homework, it's so simple now. I don't know why everybody doesn't do it. How long does it take you to look over a website and just check out their social media? You could do it so quickly, and really see if you're aligned with that particular company. But when you call that company, say, hey, I see you're doing this, this, and this, so that's going to impress them because they're going to see that you've done some research. And say, you know what, I would like to know more about, what your marketing goals are. Can you tell me what your demographics are, what your upcoming campaigns are? Make them open up to you. Don't just do a presentation, which is a one-way presentation. Make it a conversation and make them tell you, what's important to them, because that is when the best sponsorships and the best partnerships happen, is when you listen to them and you provide something that answers their needs.
One of the things that I alluded to before we went into this segment is, once you get your sponsor, how do you keep them loyal to you? Is there something that, you customer service wise, what can you do so that they love you, they think you're the yummiest, and that they want to come back and sponsor all of your events?
Okay. So, and remember, it's not just events that could get sponsors. It's businesses.
I don't mean that. Website
all that stuff. So, to keep a sponsor loyal to you and get what we call renewals. Renewals are basically, we recommend that you get a one-year contract with your sponsor with a one-year renewal. So that means if they like working with you this year, they'll give you money for next year. And sometimes, Phyllis, it's as easy as sending them an invoice. I've had multi-year contracts with Citibank and with FedEx. My clients have had multi-year contracts with Verizon, Dole Foods, Black & Decker. So this is possible. Now, it's a matter of relationship building. So I would give them a report quarterly, every 3 months, and don't just send them a report. And a report is just kind of a one-pager about what the program is, what you're doing for them. But go over that report with them. Make an appointment to talk to them and tell them what you're doing. Because a lot of people in sponsorships, what they do is they'll get the money. They don't communicate with the sponsor all year, and then they come the next year with their hands stretched out saying, give me more money. Well, what do you think that sponsor's thinking? Well, what the heck did you do for me? So it's basically just communication. Also, when I had American Airlines as a sponsor, I did a radio interview, and I mentioned American Airlines on the interview, and then I just kind of came back to my office, and I typed an email to the lady at American Airlines, and she must have been in her office because she typed an email right back to me and said, oh, my God, that's so great. Thank you so much for mentioning us. So, little things like that, just kind of keep the communication going, and this is where women are really good with relationship building.
That is something, that's that little secret, you know, that I think people don't think about. You're right. And especially in a big corporation, you know, there's this feeling like you're just starting out, you're this little guy, and then you've got the big guys, and they're too busy, and, you know, I'm just nobody to them. But you're absolutely right. There is always, they are people, and you are a person. And when you create that relationship, they want to do business. And again, with women in particular, you know, those who they know, like, and trust. But, in the corporate world, you're not just dealing with women, you're dealing with men, too. Do you find, I know that there, you know, more and more now we're hearing about different ways to sell, and including selling yourself to a potential sponsor, is that the person you're talking to could also be a type of person that doesn't connect necessarily emotionally. Do you find that you have to kind of feel out the person first, or do you just kind of go for the heartstrings first, generally? And that heartstrings could also be, you know, being a comedy. Like you just said, some of your proposals have cartoons in them. So what are your thoughts on that?
I like to go for the emotions because, you know, I never forget that I'm dealing with people and not with a faceless corporation. But, you know, you got to kind of assess it as you go. You know, if you talk to a certain individual and you see that they're not that type, you know, they're not emotional, they're not nurturing, you know, they're more into facts and figures and bottom line it for me and all that stuff, then, of course, you have to change your approach, you know, to that personality type. But, yeah, I always go for, you know, the emotional approach first, and then if I see that is not really the right way to go with this particular person's personality, you just kind of modify it on the fly.
And one more question here. When it comes to writing up a proposal, of course, you have the, you know, you want to tug at their heartstrings when you talk about being vulnerable, telling a story. Not everybody has the same story you have. But when you talk about, so what do you mean when you talk about being vulnerable? If somebody doesn't have, you know, that kind of heartfelt story that you have, what would you recommend they tap into to define that
well,
part of
it? Well, I think that no matter what we do, everybody that's listening, we're all in the life-changing business. So you've changed lives with the work that you do. So tell the story about somebody whose life that you've changed through the work that you do, if you don't want to tell your own story. And, you know, we all have that. We all have testimonials. We all have, you know, thank you cards that say, that people send to us that say, I think that's why we do what we do, that say, thank you so much, you've changed my life. So tell the story about somebody that you've helped through your nonprofit, through your events, through your business, your coaching, your book, your speaking. Tell that story. Can I do quickly some other things that go into the proposal?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. So quickly, what goes into the proposal is the demographics, like I said, that description of your demographics. The sponsor benefits. What benefits are you going to give that particular sponsor? Are you going to give them signage at an event? Are you going to give them exposure on your website, on your social media, in your email marketing, your blog, your podcast? What touch points do you have that you could include that sponsor in? Video marketing is also really big. So can you do video marketing for them? You know, what can you do for that particular sponsor? So that's included in your proposal. Your marketing plan should be in your proposal. And if you don't have a marketing plan, it's time to get one, because you can include the sponsor in your marketing plan, because everybody has to get the word out about what they do. And how can you include the sponsor in that? You also want to maybe include testimonials, like I said, like the testimonials of the people who've written to you and say, oh, my God, you know, you've helped me in this way and that way, and here's where I was before, and here's where I am now. So all of that goes into the sponsor proposal.
Okay, very good. That's a great start, and I think we're going to wrap up here. So what would you just say, let's just say, what is the first thing, say somebody's just starting out in business, they haven't even considered a sponsorship yet because they thought they were too tiny and nobody would want them, you know, want to sponsor them. What would you say to that person right now that they can do as soon as they stop listening, as soon as the show is over?
Okay. Well, can I tell you about a free gift and a resource that I have for the listeners?
You bet. You bet.
Okay. So go to my website. Go to sponsorconcierge.com. That's sponsor, S-P-O-N-S-O-R, concierge, concierge.com. I have the number one secret for getting sponsors there, and it is my gift to you. Just give me your information, and I will send it right out to you. And I also do free sponsor strategy sessions. They're completely complimentary. So if you have something that you want to talk to me about that you think could get sponsors, you could book your strategy session also on sponsorconcierge.com. But you know what? I want you to hold your head up high. I want you to know that you have quality and you have value to give to your sponsor. So the biggest thing that you can do right now is to know that you can do this, to start looking at companies and say, hey, you know, like I said, while you're driving around in your car, if you hear something on the radio, if you see something on television or on social media or on a video blog or something out there, say, hey, I'm going to add that to my sponsor list. Maybe that could be my sponsors. And, you know, just kind of have that mindset that even if you're small, even if you're just starting out, you know, that, you know, you can really do this to help your vision and your mission for what you want to do in your life to change other people's lives.
Very good. So it starts with the mindset. It starts believing in yourself.
Absolutely.
And then others will believe in you. Okay, very good. Linda Hollander, thank you so much again. She's got a free gift for you. Go to sponsorconcierge.com. Thanks again, Linda. Appreciate all that you do.
Thank you.
Most people know UPS. But did you know we offer expert advice and time-saving tools for startups?
I have a big idea, and now I have big decisions to make.
We can help you get there.
Startups need all the help we can get.
Talk with our experts and find technology that can help you automate tasks so you can do more, faster.
To grow, I need help saving time and money.
Have a one-on-one consultation with a specialist at no cost. And our shipping and tracking tools are free as well.
I want to be more efficient and streamline operations.
You can even sign up for UPS Smart Pickup, which will automatically notify a driver whenever you create a shipment online.
Wow, so I can spend more time focusing on the big picture?
You focus on your business, while we take care of the logistics.
Putting more energy toward my dreams, that would be huge.
Get expert advice for your growing business. See how at ups.com/startups.
I love logistics.
Hi, this is Steve Kidd, the host of Thriving Entrepreneur. You can listen to us Tuesdays, noon Eastern on the EWN Radio Network. I want you to know you are uniquely brilliant, created for a purpose. The world needs you, and we want to help. Listen to me and my guest Tuesdays, noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, on the EWN Radio Network as we help you learn how you can be a thriving entrepreneur.
This is the EWN Radio Network.